You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
We are at Lake Winnipesaukee in New Hampshire at the Dive, Smalls Cove. The eighth and final roadshow of this roadshow season heading into the long holiday weekend, and the Red Sox front office report this week is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov. And joining us now, it is the president of the Boston Red Sox, Sam Kennedy. Hey, Sam, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Happy 4th.
Yeah, same to you. Are you a lake or an ocean person? We're on Lake Winnipesaukee this morning.
Yeah, I was going to say the expense controls at Odyssey are out of control, huh? Guys, a little vacation. No, we're at Fenway Park. We're working.
All right. Well, I know you talked a little bit last night on Nesson about this team post-Devers trade and the belief that you have in them. And so I wanted to... Because, you know, Craig Breslow has been on last couple weeks talking about deadline coming up and talking about the need to improve the team. So when you say, you know, you feel good about this team, you don't mean you don't need to do anything or you're looking at opportunities to do things, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, first of all, we've been really disappointed in our performance this year. I mean, let's just be straight about that. We're not where we should be. It's been frustrating. And so, yeah, if there's opportunities to improve this team, we have to aggressively pursue that. That's the mindset right now. So we'll see. We've got, I think, 20-plus games until the trading deadline. And the mindset is one of we want to improve and we want to get back to the postseason and be the 2025 team that we thought we were building in the offseason. But we haven't done it, so you know we've got to start playing better baseball on a more consistent basis. It's been really frustrating.
The Devers trade has been talked about a lot. I just want to ask. You said last night that was a baseball move, and I think we've gone back and forth with fans who are calling or we're talking to them about it. When you say baseball move, how do you explain that?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple. It was a baseball move because the reasons the trade were made were cultural and organizational, and to ultimately make the organization what we stand for. It was not in the moment in time a move where you remove that bat from the lineup and you think that specific move is going to make you better. That doesn't that doesn't add up. But what adds up is we have to make sometimes very difficult decisions like this move to do what's right for the baseball team, the organization overall. Really difficult, but it was about baseball. It was about culture. It was about fit. And it was what was doing right for the whole clubhouse, not one individual person. That said, we don't take it lightly. That was a really difficult move, and we didn't take it lightly. But that's what it was about. It was not about saving money. It was not about roster payroll flexibility. It was about doing the right thing for the entire organization for the near term and for the long term.
Sam, I think a lot of people, when we hear Breslow and we hear about him talking about that you guys believe this is a team that can make the playoffs and really make some noise this year as far as getting into the postseason, can our expectations be that you guys are going to be big players come the trade deadline to improve a team that you guys feel like if you can get into the postseason, you can make some noise?
Absolutely. We have the ability to do that in terms of, you know, blessing from ownership and the sort of fulfilling our goal of becoming a postseason team. That said, we have to start playing better baseball on a more consistent basis. I mean, when we're playing sloppy defensively, when we're not running the bases well, when the bullpen's struggling, you know, it's really hard to keep up in the American League East. So we've got to play better baseball and prove to ourselves over these next seven series that this is a team that can do what we think we can do. I mean, we were very aggressive this offseason. We had what we thought was a really great offseason in terms of the additions and the extensions with Garrett Crochet and Alex Bregman and Aroldis Chapman. You know, we just, for a lot of reasons, we've been a 500 or below 500 team. That's not what we're looking for here. So, Wiggy, to answer your question specifically, yes, we do have the ability to go out and improve the team, but we also have to play better baseball to put ourselves in a position where postseason is realistic, and we got to get going.
You brought up base running. You know, you look at the eighth inning last night and in that late game. Those are fundamentals. So from your perspective, like, you expect Major League Baseball players not to be making those mistakes, I think. From your perspective, and Craig Breslow alluded a little bit to this when he was on last week, does this team need to focus more on simple fundamentals of baseball, whether it's in spring training or now?
Definitely. I mean, it's been a systemic thing for a long time, and that's on us. That's on everybody in the organization. But, yeah, it's not acceptable to be out there at the major league level and making fundamental mistakes. If you do that in the big leagues, if you give away outs, you're going to be in big trouble. So, yes, we need to improve, full stop.
Yeah, I thought I was watching myself in Little League last night, Sam.
Curtis, don't sell yourself short.
I was the best right fielder in Dover. So, Sam, it seems to me, and I'm not debating analytics or not. That's not what my goal is. The organization is driven in some part, some say large, some say not too large, by analytics. And yet it feels to me that the Devers trade was emotional. That was a reaction to a player's, the personal relationship with the player impacting the relationship with the team, dating back to the owner's trip with you and Craig in Kansas City. Is that a fair depiction of the trade?
Well, emotion is a huge part of our sport, and yeah, we feel a passion for winning and a passion for this organization. We wouldn't be in professional sports if there wasn't a ton of emotion associated with it, so that's fair. We are very, very, very passionate about what we're doing over here, so that's definitely a part of it. And look, analytics are an important tool. They really are. Data and analysis and decision-making and baseball operations and business operations are really important. But that's just one element. A person's heart, a person's character, their makeup, their desire to be in Boston, desire to be a leader, desire to put the team first, all those elements are hugely important as you construct a roster. And so you have to factor in both analytics and the non-analytical side of things to put a great team on the field. And that's what we try and do each and every year.
Sam, I appreciate you being honest when saying that you want to build a team that you thought you were building in the offseason, but what in your mind changed from the feelings at spring training to where we stand today? How different the, and I'm going to use the word because we use it a lot during spring training, how different the vibes are now from back in February, March?
I mean, Courtney, 43 and 45 would be what I would point to. I mean, we're not playing at a level that we had thought and anticipated. And there's a lot of reasons that have contributed to that. And no one is more frustrated than the players in that clubhouse and our on-field staff. But all of us feel it. Our fan base feels it. We feel it. We've just underperformed. That said, things can change very quickly. We're six games back. We're not focused on anything other than the division, getting ourselves back in a position to be playing meaningful games in September to position us to get into October. Things can change fast. Alex Cora was joking last night with Jason Veritek pregame about the date we're going to the White House next year. So, you know, there is no lack of confidence in that clubhouse, I can tell you. And that's why I love this group. We feel very, very confident. But at the same time, I think it's fair for all of us to be frustrated by where we are.
But when you look at it, is it a coaching situation? Did you guys not get the talent you thought you were getting? Or are players just not playing up to their full potential? Because I completely agree things can turn around, but...
Yeah, it's on all of us. I mean, look, at the end of the day, it's on all of us. We're a team, and we have to be better in every area, every aspect of the game, especially as we discuss the fundamentals. I mean, you cannot be giving away outs and expect to win baseball games. Not at the major league level. It just doesn't work. So we got to be better all around. And I think and feel that we can. But you know, hope and optimism only takes you so far. We got to go out and start delivering.
If the team's under 500 at the deadline, will you add?
It's just hard to say, Chris. At this point, you really, I don't want to pick a lane and then have you play a sound clip in my face for the next 6 months. So I don't have any desire.
Sam, never.
Wasn't Chris supposed to be on vacation or something today?
I know.
Country or something.
Yeah. I'm going far away. 6,000 miles, Sam. I'll be in Hawaii. So
he took the over on 90 wins. So it's.
I had you in the World Series, Sam. God.
Good. Well, look, so Alex Cora does as well right now. So, listen, we do have a big July in front of us. Every single game matters. We've got, we start tomorrow in Washington, as you said, 11 in the morning. We won this series against Cincinnati. Last night was so frustrating, though, because we could have swept the series. But let's go out and win each of these series, and we're going to be in a great spot, but we got to get going.
So a couple weeks from now, and I'm asking this because you hear what is said. A deal is in front of you guys 2 weeks from now, and it requires spending money and whatever, whatever prospects, whatever, but it requires a commitment cash-wise from the ball club. John Henry is on board, and you and everybody else is on board with that, with spending that money.
Absolutely. If it's a fit that helps us get to where we want to go, absolutely. We have the same mindset right now that we had in November, December, January, February, March, that led us to what we felt was a very productive and aggressive offseason. That's so full stop. Simple answer. But there is a second part of that answer, that we have to be realistic. I mean, if we don't go out and do the right things, we're and win baseball games over the next couple weeks, we're not going to be in a great position. So we need to start playing better baseball, get back to 500 and winning series, put ourselves in a position to add to this club at the deadline and go take a run at it. But it's impossible to guarantee anything here on July 3rd because we have to go out and we got to play better.
Sam Kennedy, and thank you for taking the time. We'll talk to you again soon. Have a great 4th of July and
holiday. Happy 4th to you and your families.
All right, there's Sam Kennedy, the president of the Boston Red Sox.
You could say I'm never happy, but the president of the Red Sox thinking I was on vacation and agreeing to come on. I will be flying myself to Hawaii.
We hadn't heard from him in a long time, so that must have been the reason.
But there's no backing out of it, though. Like, if they're playing well trade deadline and they're legitimately in it and they're playing, like you said, over 500 baseball, he's saying that the organization is willing to do whatever it takes to add to this team, and if that means spend money, they're going to do that.
So
there's no backing out of it, you know?
Especially no, there is.
How do you get to the point to back out of it?
Ready?
Yep.
So when I asked him that question, is there a chance at the deadline, if you're under 500, will you add? The simple answer is yes.
But they're not, because
that's what I'm saying.
But if you're on the 500 and get to the deadline, then they feel like they're not good enough to add to a team that's not going.
So what they said was nonsense. That they said they were going to add payroll. They actually made the team worse, and then they saw the team's play get worse and didn't add. So it was a self-fulfilling prophecy.
No. But if they play well and they're above 500, now there's no backing out of that.
But they just swept the Yankees.
Yeah.
They were, I think, 3 games out of first place. They were 5 games over 500, whatever the hell it was. And then they make a trade of their best hitter, and they've gotten worse. And now they're saying, well, if we don't improve between now and the deadline with an inferior roster, we may not add. Which is what I said all along. Anybody who believed in the moment that they were going to be adding payroll thinks that, the government's honest.
Well, I do agree with Wiggy. I don't think you can necessarily get out of saying that if the team is above 500 in a couple weeks, that you're willing to spend.
But they will. I mean, they should. That's what I'm saying.
But there's a realistic chance that in a couple weeks they'll be above 500.
Of course.
Right. So if you're willing to go out on a limb and say those things, then you backed yourself into a corner if you don't do it.
If you're 2 games under 500 at the deadline.
Yeah, that's under 500.
I know, but and you're 5 games out of the third wild card.
Right.
And they sell. Do you think fans are happy?
No, but at least fans understand you're 5 games out of the wild card and you're 2 games under 500. But if you're 2 games above 500 and you're a game and a half outside the wild card, you can't weasel your way out of that one.
Right.
Yeah. All right. We are at the Dive on Lake Winnipesaukee and about 45 minutes left on this final road show. On an incredible road show season this season. So this is a great way to finish it here. It's a beautiful day on Lake Winnipesaukee. Whole bunch of boats out here, and we thank you guys immensely for if you attended any road show for being there. Pre-game last night at the Nassau was great. Met a whole bunch of great New Hampshire people. So thank you for that. We're going to get to Hill Notes coming up in just a little bit. And right now, Courtney, and what is trending this hour?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox take the first in the suspended game earlier yesterday with the Reds. 5-3 was your final, and they dropped the second 8-4. Here's Alex Cora on the second game from last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
Yeah, I mean, 3-run lead in seventh. We expect to win those games, right? If you look back at the season, there's been a lot of those that have slipped through our hands. And honestly, we're in the position we are because of that.
Nissan is here to help you save this summer with lower MSRPs on Rogue and Pathfinder. The possibilities are endless. Visit your local dealer today.
Ken doesn't even know my vacation schedule.
That's true. The guy's off tonight before hitting the road to take on the Nationals tomorrow. First pitch on your 4th of July is at 11:05. Elsewhere in MLB play, Clayton Kershaw has joined the 3,000 strikeout club. Kershaw became the 20th member in the Dodgers' win over the White Sox. In some NBA news, as the Knicks are expected to hire 2-time NBA Coach of the Year winner Mike Brown as their next head coach. That is what's trending. We have your Hill Notes coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
WEEI Afternoons here, July 3rd, heading into the at least top, one of the top three holidays on the calendar, 4th of July. Bruce, thank you. You're highly overrated, but that song is not. That's a great song. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Oh, no need for a shot at one of the great American poets, storytellers, and musicians.
No, I know. And someday he'll get his first number one hit.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Look it up. Trivia question.
Oh, yeah? How many number one hits has George Strait had?
61, I believe.
No, that chart doesn't count.
It counts. 61.
No, country number ones don't count. That's like leading AAA in home runs. Nope.
They call you King George for a reason. But that was the voice of Sam Kennedy you also heard there. Front office report, the Greg Hill Show. Continuing to make the rounds, campaigning, Breslow or Kennedy. Kennedy or Breslow, they're everywhere. They're on Nesson. They're on WEEI. And they keep telling us, we're going to be the team we thought we were building in the offseason. We're going to add to this team. We're going to be buyers. And I continue to wonder, are they being very political right now in the sense that they feel like they're campaigning and they feel like they're making promises that they may not necessarily be able to keep? Because I was listening this morning when Sam Kennedy was on, and as soon as he exits the show, Wiggy's like, my side of the street. Yep, they're backing themselves in the corner. They're basically telling you they're making it so they have to be buyers. And Curtis is like, no, they don't. What if they're a sub-500 team in 3 weeks, 4 weeks from now, just before the trade deadline, whatever it is? And then Wiggy's like, wow, then they might not buy. And it's like, okay. I think they have to buy either way. I think they, if the trade deadline were today and they were 43 and 45, I think they have to be buyers based on what they have said. Based on what they've said. Based on, we still believe. We're not that far out. We think this team. We're adding Bregman. We're adding Yoshida. Like, I think they absolutely are painting themselves into a corner of buyers. And I love that. I think that's a good thing. Right up until little gullible Andy doesn't get what he wants and they don't buy anything and maybe they sell something off. That will piss me off. But right now, I'm being optimistic.
Okay. You can be as optimistic as you want to be. You can be, you know, listen, I don't ever want to strip anyone of their fandom. Belief is a beautiful thing. And like I've said, and I maintain, great journeys often begin with a small leap of faith. But this team has shown me what they can do. This team has shown me who they are time and time again. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, flagellate and beat up on, you know, Greg Weissert because he gave up a grand slam last night and his ERA was once minuscule and now it's up to 3.5. Like, he is who he is. Like, he's they got some great innings out of him earlier, and now it's to diminishing returns. Why? Because the bullpen's been inconsistent, and outside of Chapman, you really don't have any proven horses back there. My God, my kingdom for the days of Chris Martin being able to come in and give you a shutdown seventh and eighth inning. What a difference that would make on this team. And I don't know. At this point, Andy, I don't know whose fault it is, and I kind of don't give a flying flipping Fenway. Somebody needs to teach somebody at some level how to throw from the outfield to the infield, how to field the ball cleanly, and how to keep a clean sheet and walk out of the game with zero ease, just at least a couple of times a week. What is it with this team and their friggin' defense? I don't get it.
It's interesting you brought that up, because I just started, okay. I started following somebody, Zach Scott, on Twitter, because he popped across my timeline, and he is apparently former general manager with the Mets. And he is in modernizing sports ops, elevating sports leaders, launching sports careers, blah, blah, blah. But he comments on baseball. He has some inside baseball knowledge. And he tweeted in response to your guy Savage, actually. Okay. Can someone actually explain how the Red Sox have been the worst fundamental baseball team in majors for years? And yep. Zach Scott, this guy, replied, "A Red Sox player development member once told me that he knew it was time for an exit strategy." I think he means from the organization, when a newly hired by Bloom minor league field coordinator declared in their first meeting that, quote, "We no longer coach fundamentals." Close quote.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, the field coordinator, player development, minor leagues, "We no longer coach fundamentals." And then, you know, this guy apparently was like, "Yeah, probably time for me to look for a new gig if we're not going to be doing that in the player development department of the Boston Red Sox." But that falls in line with what Craig Breslow has told us. He said it on the Greg Hill show last week sometime, I believe it was, that we've done the analysis, and at all levels, we struggle with defense, we struggle with base running. You know why that might happen? Because you don't teach it, you don't coach it, you don't invest in it. And this morning, Sam Kennedy said the same thing. We need to invest more time there in spring training, wherever it may be in the minor leagues. When you, I mean, isn't it as simple as when you don't teach or coach something, generally you don't get better at it?
Yeah, it would be like if a team ran nothing but tackling drills, or like, no, they worked on, Andy, it was like an NFL team basically just ran a passing clinic, right? You know, they just, everything was like one of those air raid camps kids go to sometimes in the summer to work on their route trees and, you know, 10s and 15s and 20 yards. Awesome. Great. You guys can score with the best of them. You're the worst tackling team of all time, and you have no special team fundamentals. Why?
Correct.
Because you don't teach them or practice them. And now this baseball team is doing the same thing. I find this actually to be borderline contemptible. Like, this is an insult to people that like watching the all-around great game of baseball and not just, oh, look at this team, always swinging out of their socks. The old Fenway driveliners.
Driveline. They care about pitching and spin rate and all that crap, and then launch angles and all that crap. And some of the fundamentals, the simplest stuff, especially for a team that I do think has some athletes both at the major league level and has injected some athleticism into the minor league system without knowing all the guys, obviously. Like, coach them up. So worst case scenario, if things go wrong in some of the other areas, we can be a scrappy, athletic, try-hard team, because right now they're not. And it's not just the young guys. They have occasionally old guys. Trevor Story thrown out at second base the other night. Like, Romy Gonzalez. Like, some of the old guys also make mistakes.
Because he fell trying to again, Andy, let's go back to a point we were making earlier this week. Two things. I was saying that inconsistency I find to be the most maddening element of this team. Turns out that actually may be a silver medal winner next to not teaching fundamentals at the base level of the organization and operation. And you were talking about people trying to do too much. This is probably what we have. We can call it Duran syndrome. Like, Jaron Duran is literally trying to win the game with every catch, with every throw, with every single, with every stolen base. He can't. There's no such thing as an 8-run home run. Try as you will, Red Sox. It just doesn't exist.
Stupid question from the 413.
No such thing, but okay.
No, his words, not mine, or her words, not mine. They actually started the question with stupid question. Why the hell do professional, all caps, baseball players need to be coached on freaking fundamentals, all caps? Well, because they're young and they're developing. And also, I would argue, everybody needs to be coached up or reminded of some of the fundamentals of their jobs. Like, you know, in a lot of forms of professional careers, whether it's teaching or whether it's the medical field, you got to get, what do they call them?
CEDs? Recertified.
Like, you got to get continuing education points or whatever to prove that you're still studying your field, that you're still prepping, that you're not just going to live off that degree that you got in college maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that you're keeping up with the times.
Yeah, do you still know where the major organs are?
Right.
Or, how to perform an incision. It's like Dan Ball and I share the same hot take. Every 10 years, you should be retested for your driver's license.
Sure. Everybody should be. And to just assume, especially when you have a guy, I don't know, Roman Anthony, who's only a couple years out of high school, some of these guys that we're talking about, they're young players. And when you're, especially, let's say a guy's in the Northeast, you played high school baseball in the Northeast, and then you went to college, like, you didn't get as many reps as some of those people in Florida that play baseball year-round. So, like, to think just because a guy has reached AA, AAA, Major League Baseball, that he is a fundamentally sound player, finished product, now he can just focus on purely the higher-end levels of the game. No. Absolutely not. Absolutely need to be taught fundamentals and reminded of fundamentals. And then some of the fundamentals that pop up at a faster rate, right? Like playing defense against base runners in single A ball is not going to be the same as Ellie De La Cruz running the bases, right? Or Jaron Duran running the bases. Like, oh, things are happening a little faster and more aggressively.
That's a great point. Sliders have a greater spin rate. Fastballs get faster. Runners get faster. The game gets more difficult. So being able to lean into and actually refresh your fundamentals. Good Lord, how many times does the boss man, producers come in from behind the glass and go like, great job, guys. Andy, can you work on the back sell from that segment? And also, can we get out a minute sooner?
Yeah, like, you get out at 256.37. Can we get out at 256.13? And I'm like, yes, sir, I will. Like, you're absolutely, that's a perfect example. Even in this business, there are little things that we need to clean up, make better on a daily basis. And yeah, and they need it in Major League Baseball. They need it in Minor League Baseball. And for some reason, I don't know whether we blame Chaim Bloom, whether there's more blame for others in the organization. Sam Kennedy, you're the president, means you probably signed off on some of these hires, fires, organizational budgets and things where money is invested. So, Sam Kennedy, you're part of it. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines. Rick in New Hampshire has a comment on the Red Sox as well as the Brady statue that we mentioned. What's up, Rick?
Hey, so anyway, I don't want to be a wet blanket, but the thing is, you had mentioned earlier about, you know, Red Sox are a 500 ball team. Well, they got to win a couple more games to be a 500 ball team.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that aggravates me, you know, I'm sure it aggravates all you guys, is I go online and I read all these stories. And the thing that gets me is, no matter who you listen to, and these are the insiders, these are the guys that you know personally, are saying, yep, there's no way Alex Cora has to worry about his job. He's guaranteed. They can come in last. They can play as bad as they want. Alex Cora doesn't have to worry about his job, period. And that aggravates me to death.
Okay, what was your thought on the Brady statue?
The Brady statue is everybody saying, oh, well, it could be this, it could be that. Hey, you know, put him in the Heisman Trophy pose, put a helmet on him, nobody will know the difference, everybody will be happy.
All right, thanks for the call, Rick.
Did Tom Brady ever strike the Heisman pose once in his career?
I don't think he did.
No.
I don't think he did. No, I don't think he has that in him. He certainly didn't win the Heisman.
He didn't run down to the end zone, whether he was trailed by Ryan Mallett, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jacoby Brissett, or whoever, and, you know, strike the Heisman pose every Sunday in the end zone. He'd pumped his fist and yelled, let's effing go.
Because generally, to strike the Heisman pose, you have to do something athletic, right? Like a rushing touchdown, spin move, great catch or something. He did play with a guy who did that, Charles Woodson. Did the Heisman pose, and when you're a defensive player,
deservedly
like,
so.
Yes, when you're a defensive player and strike the Heisman pose, it's kind of like I expect to be in the conversation for the Heisman because it's not easy as a defensive player. But no, I'm not sure Tom Brady needs to be striking the Heisman. I would be thumbs down on that. That would be, if they pulled off the sheet and you're like, Wait, is that Brady in the Heisman pose? That would be one of the worst statues I've ever seen. No offense,
Rick. What the hell is this?
Yeah.
What if it's the Brady kind of like, you know, leaning to one side with the football on the other, and it's like in the Urlacher juke pose?
Yep. Nope. I don't love that either. I'm
I don't
with
love
you.
That at all. Nope.
I like the. I know a lot of people think it's kind of weird, but the fist pump pregame to me, the end of the run down the field, because he also did similar things on the field when he would throw a touchdown pass or make a play, avoid a sack. I like the fist pump because I think he made LFG a thing. He made LFG a much bigger phrase, acronym, social media, like everything.
Your son played football in high school and probably had friends that played a few years before him and they a few years before that. Did kids say en masse at the collegiate high school or youth level, let's go or let's effing go Tom Brady? No, that's his thing.
Tom Brady. So to me, that's the visual representation of the LFG, of the let's go. So that's what I would put as the statue. But we'll see. We'll find out. Fitzy's very excited. It may be a part of the Fitzy
Five. Are we broadcasting live from Foxborough that day? I think we should.
Sure. I'm all for it. I don't even know. What day is it?
It's a Friday.
Thursday, Friday?
No, it's their only home preseason game Friday, August 8th against the Commanders.
All right, put that in. Put a request in with Boss Man Laird if we can be live.
I already did. You know what the response was?
No.
Well, we've got a lot going on with the Greg Hill Show.
Oh, that's hurtful. 617-779-7937. We've had JK. A little Red Sox talk to start the show because, well, they are floundering again, and I'm not happy with them. Up next, though, it's the eve of the 4th of July. That means fireworks tonight, fireworks tomorrow, probably Saturday night, all weekend long. If you have dogs, you might not be a fan of that. I know Rich Keefe is not a fan of that. But we like fireworks here, and we've come up with a little game. We're going to go over some names of fireworks that Fitzy found online at stores that sell fireworks. And we're going to go over those because I hear they're unbelievable and they almost sound like something that has nothing to do with fireworks. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Mego in for Keefe. It's Tuesday. NHL free agency just getting underway.
Bruins have made one move to this point. It was a trade for Victor Arvidsson. Gave up a fifth rounder in 2027. They're retaining the full salary, so they've gone from almost 13 in cap space to less than 9 in cap space with free agency getting underway, which I think means you can kiss goodbye the top targets out there in free agency, but we'll continue to monitor what the Bruins are up to. Same with the Celtics. No Luke Kornet. He's now a San Antonio Spur. Sounds like Al Horford will be following him out west in short order. So what are the Celtics up to with NBA free agency starting last night? We'll monitor that as well. Interesting move in the NFL, by the way, that I meant to bring up as well, Mego. Darren Waller out of retirement and been traded to the Miami Dolphins. So this is like another move off the Jalen Ramsey trade yesterday, where Ramsey goes to Pittsburgh, Fitzpatrick comes back, Jonnu Smith went out, and now Darren Waller out of retirement for a conditional sixth-round pick from the Giants, which actually looks like a late-round pick swap. So we'll continue to keep you on top of all the news out there with a lot of transactions in the NHL, NBA, and Major League Baseball. We're joined right now by Rob Bradford, WEEI, and Baseball Isn't Boring. You can check it out on the Odyssey app. He's brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depends on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Rob Bradford, McFarland. McFarland to you.
Oh, McFarland, McFarland. Mego, can I get a McFarland? What's
McFarland.
Going on? McFarland. Oh, that's a good one. That was a good one.
Angelic
by the
is
way,
what that was.
Mm-hmm. I heard you ask yesterday if I knew the Celtics owner, if he was a North Shore guy.
Yeah.
Because I live in his guest house, so yeah.
Oh.
Oh, does he know?
No.
Okay. Hopefully he's not a listener.
I don't know if
Georgetown the North Shore?
Is he still at North Shore? Am I still North Shore?
No. Is Georgetown the North Shore? Like,
I was just going to say that. I am a North Shore snob, like, in that respect.
In every respect.
I don't know if you know this, humble brag. I live in the real North Shore. But Georgetown, I don't look at that. It's North, I guess. Like, is North Shore? No. Is it near water? It might be near a pond.
Yeah, no, it's not. It does not touch the coast. No.
Is there an inlet that extends towards Georgetown?
Well, I mean, can't we say that about like the Mississippi River to middle of the country?
I mean, you're saying they're not North Shore.
They're not North Shore.
Thank you. No. Okay, so you're a suspect of the new ownership as well.
Totally.
I know most Red Sox fans are very suspect of ownership as well. We can get to any transactions for the Red Sox coming up. But let's start with the last few games, Rob. Let's focus on the positive. You know me. They've won 2 out of 3, 15 runs on Saturday, 13 more runs last night. Now, who knows how they were all over this young pitcher for Cincinnati? Who could possibly guess? Is it possible the offense, this is the beginning of the offense turning things around post-Devers?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? Is that the Chase Burns is tipping his pitches? Poor kid. Poor kid drafted second overall last year, and then all of a sudden has to pitch at Fenway Park with tipping his pitches all over the place. Lou Maloney.
Hold on there.
Yeah.
Well, you were just about to slip into something very North Shore.
I heard a pock.
What was that?
A pock.
Oh, I really?
Yeah. Didn't hear that?
I have to roll the tape
back at the end.
Been hanging around my dad too much. I think Lou Maloney screaming from the broadcast booth, you know, like he's tipping his pitches. But I think that you look at last night, and they scored runs after Chase Burns was out of the game. It is intriguing to me that you have guys like Roman Anthony, the guy that they were putting cart before the horse in terms of putting second or third in the lineup for, I think, out of the gate after Devers left town. And then all these other guys had taken a turn for the worse, and Narvaez, all of them. I mean, Duran, all of them had taken a turn for the worse on that West Coast trip. But now you're starting to see in the last few games, all right, this is how it could conceivably kind of work. But the big part of this, I think, is that you have to have Roman Anthony be the guy that they want Roman Anthony to be. You have to have Narvaez actually not wear down at catcher. There's a lot of things that have to happen, but last night we saw a glimpse of like how that could all work. That doesn't mean they desperately need Bregman. I think they need Yoshida, and by the way, I think they need another bat. But still, I mean, compared to what it was, it's night and day.
Do you see anything different with the approach or philosophy with how they are at the plate? Like, you say that you see these trends over the last couple of games, but other than seeing a young pitcher who's tipping his pitches very early and getting out to that early lead there? Like, is there something that you see that they're approaching differently?
No, I just think that, you know, and I keep focusing on Anthony. I mean, I think this is just the evolution of a player. And you know, he's going to take another downturn at some point. But Marcelo Meyer, same thing. We mentioned him. He had two hits last night. It's just the evolution of these guys. And Trevor Story, you know, since I think his OPS was about 837 or something in the month of June after being like 4-something in May. So they're streaky guys. But the problem is, and not to talk about thou who shall not be named, but Rafael Devers is sort of that guy in the middle of the order where you know, okay, why everybody else is figuring it out, you have that guy in the middle of the order. And really, like, that's what Bregman is as well. Let's be honest. So I think that all of this, to answer your question, Mago, no, I think it's just sort of the evolution of a lot of these guys, the rhythms of these guys. Abraham Toro is going to be an up and down player along with a lot of these other guys, and probably in 5 years are going to be in your random baseball player of the day conversation. But no, I mean, I think but what we saw last night was, again, what it might be able, how it might be able to work at least a little bit.
I want to get to Bregman and some other items coming up, but Terry Francona had a good quote after the game last night about the tip pitches by Chase Burns. He said, Cora's one of the best at that. They were certainly ready, and they were coming out hacking, and they were squaring it up pretty good. I don't know. Do you think that was an annoyance out of Francona? He certainly managed Cora in the past, has a connection there. So how did you read those comments from Francona last night? And do you expect, I don't know, not certainly anything from the Reds trying to get even or anything like that, but just do you expect it to carry over from the first game, or was that sort of isolated?
No, that's the fact. Alex Cora is one of the best in the game. Eduardo Perez is one of the best in the game. There's guys in this game who are known to... Lou Maloney is one of the best I've ever seen at identifying guys who are tipping their pitches. It's not illegal to identify it. It's part of the game. If you are tipping your pitches, you have to figure it out. And I think for Francona, it's just a matter-of-fact statement. When Alex Cora was sitting on the bench for Terry Francona, that was one of the things that he brought to the table. And it's just, again, it's just a matter of fact thing. And for Terry Francona, you have to get your pitch, even though that kid has a ton of talent, he's blowing 100 all over the place, you know, to pitch in the major leagues, you can't do things like that. And so those comments, I don't look at as controversial or anything. It's just absolutely matter of fact that, you know, this is how the game works.
I guess the only thing I would point out, and I don't think it's, again, banging on a garbage can or Apple Watch level or anything like that, but it's also not sustainable, right? I don't think. I don't think you're going to get a pitcher that obviously tipping their pitches. And I guess that, if that's why they were feasting, and I know you said they scored 6 runs after he came out in 13 total, but I also don't think that's super sustainable.
No, I agree. I mean, I think that they don't have the benefit of the doubt with this offense. You have that Saturday game where we said it, that that was an aberration, it seemed like, because the next day it felt the same way it did for the previous 2 weeks, where you couldn't get a guy in from third. I mean, I wrote this. It was striking to me when I'm walking out of that park in the ninth inning, and on Sunday, they're only down two runs. And that place was emptying out. Why? Because no one had faith in the offense. Now, maybe that changes if you string together some of these other things. But you're right. I don't think that either because of Saturday or because of last night, all of a sudden they say, oh, there it is. All I'm saying is that there are glimpses of you know, pieces where you say, that guy actually is taking a step in the right direction, which, let's be perfectly clear, it's July 1st. If you're going to take, you got to start taking steps in the right direction. You have to start identifying what you are, because you got a couple weeks before you're going to have to identify whether you're a buyer or seller.
Bradfo, what's your read on what happened with Garrett Crochet yesterday? We've been used to him being pretty rock solid other than one outing against the Yankees, and he gives up 4 earned runs. It just, was there something that stuck out to you there in his performance?
Well, what stuck out was, like, I'm like, oh, I can't leave this game because he's going to throw a no-hitter for the first 3 innings. And then, you know, he was that good. He was cruising. And then you're like, oh, he's got this lead. He's going to just pound the strike zone. He doesn't have to worry about anything. And then, boom, it didn't go off the rails, but it certainly wasn't the Crochet that we all know. I think that these happen. These happen to these guys. If you string together 2 or 3 of these, then, yeah, you should be worried, because as an ace, as a top of the rotation, as the guy who has basically been the failsafe for when it comes to finding winning ways, you can't string together two or three of these. Like, you can't have another guy like Walker Buehler has been. You can't have it. He has to be the anchor. But until, like, we see another one of these, I'm going to chalk that up as if you go through anybody's season, you're going to have a few of these.
Not to be rude, but you brought up Walker Buehler. What are they waiting on with him? Like, what are they going to do there? Who are they waiting on to get him out of there?
Well, like, Alex Cora talked about Walker Buehler a ton before yesterday's game. Like, a ton. And it was almost like a motivational session. He was talking them up, what they saw in the start on Sunday, how they were optimistic and so forth and so on. But Walker Buehler himself, like I've said it before, I love Walker Buehler's post-game press conferences. I love it. I love the fact that
Chris Sale-esque.
I like it better than the game.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's like, are you worried about being taken out of the rotation? I'm worried about staying in baseball. I mean, so I think that they saw just enough where they could roll him out again. And the other part of that is until they get, as we talked about last week, I think, with Kyle Harrison, you know, whether the contract or whatever it is, you know, they're not calling up Kyle Harrison yet. And there's Hunter Dobbins is going on a rehab assignment. He's not ready yet. Tanner Houck sure isn't ready yet. So you don't have options right now. And they just look at it as like, well, if we could get even a little bit better from Walker Buehler, then that's probably the right move to go right now.
Talking to Rob Bradford, WEEI.com and the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. Check it out on the Odyssey app. It is Tom Hanks approved, by the way.
Oh my goodness.
You can check
that
out.
Highlight of my life.
I want to ask you a two-parter on Bregman. Number one, what's your understanding on a timeline? Could we see him before the All-Star break? He left that door open. And what do you think of his comments about a potential extension following up on Boris from a week ago?
Yeah, he was super happy and super optimistic after working out yesterday. But as he said, you know, I was like, well, what boxes do you have to check off? Like, you don't run to straight lines in baseball, although a lot of times you kind of do. But yeah, you have to be able to function in multiple different ways, get in the game. Although he didn't seem like he was really saying, absolutely, I'm going to do a rehab assignment. I just think that you heard from a very optimistic guy, a guy who wants to get out there, a guy that doesn't feel like he needs a rehab assignment, and a guy who thinks he's going to be back before the All-Star game. And for the Red Sox, all right, let's go. I mean, it's no secret how much you need that guy and how much that guy that you left behind changes the entire dynamic of this equation. So, yeah, but you don't want that quad thing popping up again. In terms of the contract, you know, as I said before, you know, Tim Haley, good job talking to Scott Boras. But Scott Boras, like what he said, isn't a shock at all. I mean, it's just, of course, they're going to be interested. And really, I look at what Bregman said yesterday as sort of the same vein. Of course, he's going to say he wants to stay here. He loves it here. And he's on the same page as Scott Boras, all of that. So none of it surprises me. What we have to figure out reading between all these lines is this a feasible thing? Is Alex Bregman going to stay here? I still think he is. Like, I still think Alex Bregman's going to stay here. Now, is that under the current contract? I don't know. I do think that at some point they probably will try to alter a little bit. But I think that all these people saying he's going to opt out, $40 million, man. I don't care. Like, $40 million, that for, even you locked up for the next 2 years after this one, that's a lot. His wife is in this program. It's a 3-year program at Harvard. They seem to like it here. Maybe I'm being, you know, pie in the sky, but I think he's going to stay.
There's no, like, extension program for that Harvard? Like, you can't take that online or something?
Yeah, I think there's one in Georgetown, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, in that case. Should be room in that guest house.
So, Bradford, real quick, before we let you go, we saw Jordan Hicks last night throwing 100 out of the bullpen. Kyle Harrison, not great in his first outing in Worcester. When could we see him up, and what do you expect out of Hicks now that he's here?
Yeah, I think Harrison is, like you said, probably after next week. But Hicks is an interesting one because, as we said before, he is a guy the Red Sox obsessed over or really wanted anyway. They thought they had him. And then the next morning, he signs with the Giants. They wanted him to be a starter for the first half of last year. I looked it up. I think his first 12 starts, he had like a 2-something ERA last year as a starter. That wasn't sustainable. He wasn't good the second half. He wasn't good the first half. And now he's back to this guy who can blow 100 as a reliever. And, yeah, I mean, we can't ignore what he looked like last night. He looked great. And we can't ignore what they need, especially without Justin Slayton. They need that sort of player. So is this going to help? Yeah. I mean, I think that Hicks will help them. I think it's something they do need. Now, is it something they need more than a middle-of-the-order hitter? Probably not. But still, it's something they need. It's something that can help. And by the way, like, not to say, like, listen, we're on record with all this Rafael Devers stuff, but I am finding it fascinating following Devers in San Francisco right now. I mean, leading into last night, he had struck out 11 of 8.
Oh, trust me, I'm following very closely, Brad. Oh, yeah. I'm on top of it. Yeah,
8 of 11 at bats, 0 for 4 last night. The Giants, they what are they, 4-9 since the trade now?
They have a worse record. The Red Sox are 5-8, not good, but the Giants are 4-9 since the trade. Yep.
That's nuts. Yeah, it's nuts. All this stuff is going to be fascinating, but still, to go back to Hicks, yeah, I mean, good. Like, you got a piece, and if you can figure out the rest of it, then that's a good addition.
Okay. He is Rob Bradford. Check him out at Bradfo on Twitter and on the Odyssey app. Baseball isn't boring. Bradfo, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Rob Bradford joining us here on Jones and Keefe. Mega win for Keefe on WEEI. NHL free agency has started. I would say not much going on.
Not exactly
there.
A flurry of activity.
No. I did like this tweet from Elliot Friedman. And this is on the heels of the Bruins making a signing earlier today. Victor Arvidsson. We're like, well, they're probably out on the top free agents out there, which are Besser and Ehlers. He says, I don't think we're going to hear anything on Nick Ehlers today. He said this one is going to play out for a bit. So don't expect much activity there. He could clog up the market, if you're asking me. That appears to be what's going on in the first 20 or so minutes. Christian Dvorak, a one-year deal with Philly. Otherwise, not much going on there. So we can continue to monitor that news. NBA, did I miss anything, Mego, here recently?
Nothing.
Although Billy can update us, of course,
nothing
in
crazy.
Trending as well. So we'll get back to your phone call, 617-779-7937. NHL free agency underway. Bruins have made one move. We'll circle back to it. And Brad Marchand chose to go back to Florida. What does that say about the Bees? We'll get to it right after Trending with Lanny.
Obscure reference, Wiggy, on that song, the Mark Wahlberg film.
Is that Boogie Nights?
Yes.
Dirk Diggler? Oh, that was classic.
Nailed it.
Dirk Diggler.
You want a fun fact?
Yeah.
Motorin, the nickname Tom Brady gave Christian Fourier.
Really?
Oh, did he?
Yep.
Huh. All right.
Okay. What was your nickname with Tom Brady?
Just Jay Wiggs, which I didn't have a cool nickname like Foyer.
He calls him the creator, because without Wiggy, he would have no dynasty.
Correct.
Yeah, he always just called me, he's Boston's finest, so I'll take it, you know.
Well, it's a road show Thursday, and we are on Lake Winnipesaukee in New Hampshire, and we are at the Dive, which is in Smalls Cove. And during the break, Curtis did a boat count. How many are here as of 6:30 this morning?
Well, I just saw two arrive, so we're up to 36.
Okay.
Wow.
And did you include jet skis? Because
I did.
Okay, so jet skis. So watercraft. You did a watercraft count.
Right.
And I met some people last night at our event at the Nazwa, and they were kayaking over. So I would assume it would take them longer, obviously, to get here. But
yeah, we had one kayaker here. Where he went.
How many boats do we need? Like, what is success?
I say 50 boats.
50 boats is success?
All right.
Well, we get 100 boats.
What about a plane? There's one that's flying overhead.
Oh, yeah, there's a plane over there.
I'd say we get 100 boats. If we're already at, you said 37?
Yeah.
You think we get another? I don't know if we'll get another
6:30.
60.
By the end of the show,
three and a half hours.
I know, but maybe. I don't know if we'll get another 60 boats.
I think we will.
Okay.
Ken is also going boat by boat, asking them to stop idling for the environment.
apparently we have an issue back at the radio station. Chime, good morning.
Morning, Greg.
You are by yourself this morning?
Yeah, I guess the guy who thought he was originally going to Lake Winnipesaukee and then was told not to go to Lake Winnipesaukee just also decided not to come to work today. So,
Jack.
Would have loved a little bit of communication.
Yeah. Apparently, some concern because Ken has been calling Jackson repeatedly and he's not answering.
So, I just hope he's okay.
Well, yeah. It could be maybe some kind of a silent protest because Ken barred him last minute from coming to the roadshow.
I talked to him after the show yesterday, though. He seemed fine.
He did?
Yeah, I mean.
Well, define fine when it comes to
Jackson. Well, that's true, but it wasn't my fault that he couldn't go, so maybe he was just fine with
me. Oh, I just got a text that said, yo, sorry, I overslept.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that means he's on his way, I would assume. And he'll be here in time for all the Hill Notes about him.
Awesome.
All right.
And he's safe.
And not in time to help me with any of the stuff we actually need help with.
I know. You get there after the news, there's really...
I already rolled in the news. Like, it's just like, what? I don't know what we're doing.
All right, we're going to get to Leeds momentarily, and then they said it coming up at 7:20, and we're going to try, if we can do it here on the water, we're going to try for boat Leeds at about 7:45 this morning, so... Hopefully you brought your boat Leeds. I do see a boat with a sign that says there's a lot to like about Lowell.
So yeah, there is.
That's
there
for you. That's for you, Courtney.
Yeah. So, oh, there's a lot of Lowell folk, I think.
I think there's a lot to like about Lowell. A lot to like about Lowell. Ooh, there's a lot to like about Lowell. All right.
What a jingle.
The best. So we should, let's get right now to today's leads, or at least start them.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for the lead.
Sitting in the morning sun. I'll be sitting when the evening comes. Watching the ships roll in, and then I watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
Great one, Shime. That is the legendary Otis Redding. And does he whistle his way out of that at the end, Wiggy? Otis Redding sitting on the dock of the bay? Is he whistling at the end of that song? I would argue that when it comes to, yeah, the use of the whistle? Not often is the whistle used in pop music.
Okay.
But I would say that Guns N' Roses also uses.
Yes. Was that Sweet Child of Mine?
No. What is that? The Guns N' Roses song with a whistle. Somebody on the boat will know.
It wasn't Sweet Child of Mine. Well,
was that Bop?
No. Great song.
I'm a big whistler. Music.
Shime, are you accepting all boat and water related rejoin requests this morning?
100%, definitely, okay. Yes.
On the text line or on the DMs?
Correct. Yep. You can DM me on Instagram at ShimeTime12, or you can send it in via the text line as well.
Okay. And also, I think, if I remember correctly, you have a full Spotify list that is ongoing of every rejoin you have ever played on this radio show. Am I correct about that?
That is correct, Greg. The number is currently 6,222. Okay. And so if you want that playlist, you can just DM me and I will send you the link.
Okay, and I think you titled that Spotify list Shime's Nuggets.
No, it's Greg Hill Show exclamation point.
Okay, all right. Leads are brought to you by Subaru of New England, and it is a Subaru summer. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Hello, Shime.
Hey, Greg, good morning. You guys talked about it a little bit in the beginning of the segment, but just I don't want to get pulled back in by the Boston Red Sox. I refuse to do it. I refuse to allow myself to do it. You know, it looked good when they finished off that suspended game with a win, and then they start the next game up 3-0. But as soon as that grand slam hit, I go, yep, this is why I exactly didn't get myself too invested in this team, because you can never trust them. You can never trust them in a spot to hold a 4-0 or a 3-0 lead, because why would you be able to? That seems insane, right? And
Shime, they won the series. Like,
yep.
I mean, it's
good
baseball,
for them. They're 43-45 still, Greg. Like, it's until they make a legitimate addition following the subtraction of Rafael Devers, until they make a legitimate add before the trade deadline, I have no interest in investing my hard-earned time into them.
Okay. You're out, and you won't be back unless you see some sort of a splash when it comes to the trade deadline.
Bingo.
All right, we'll save you a seat. Don't worry about it.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate you, Wiggs.
Wiggy's still in.
Yeah, I mean, they're only three games out of a wild card. That's what we're hoping for. I don't think they can catch the Yankees, even though the Yankees haven't been playing great, and they're, what, six games behind the Yankees? And we'll continue to pepper, whether it's Breslow or it's Sam Kennedy today. If you guys are going to be in the mix come trade deadline, well, you're going to show us that you have to go out there and make additions to this ball club.
Being alerted that patience is that's the Guns N' Roses song with the whistle.
Yeah.
Also, Courtney, I was just alerted on the text machine, the personal text machine by Santo, that You Can Call Me Al by the great Paul Simon features a whistle. So
That one.
You don't know that one?
No.
You don't know that
one? No.
Okay.
He hasn't played that one for me yet.
How do you not know that song?
Chime, do you?
Chime probably does.
I feel like that's a classic.
I can't say I do.
Yeah.
What?
I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm not saying it's a bad song. I'm just saying I don't know it.
Your generation, when it comes to music and a lot of other things, is just not living life.
Santo's my generation. He's just an old soul.
Where is Santo? Is he out
White
here?
White boat over there. I could see.
Is that him?
Yep, they're over
Santo!
There.
Santo! There he is over there.
I met his dad yesterday. His dad was mad cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, his dad was really cool.
His dad was at the Nasswat last night.
Yeah.
All right. Shime, thank you. Curtis, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. Shime, you would hate to be a member of the Red Sox. This morning just came out, Jen McCaffrey has a long story in The Athletic about the Red Sox changing approach at the plate. They have had several individualized and group meetings because of the swoon they faced following the trade of Rafi Devers. In the nine games played after Devers' deal, the Red Sox had a 188 average and a 573 OPS at the DH. And there was a lot of changes to the way in which the team is trying to understand the best approach at the plate.
Were those meetings with the driveline people?
Yes. So the current club still holds large group meetings at the start of each series, utilizing its expanded video room where they capture signs, for group sessions, but then...
Whoa. Did you say capture signs?
No, I just threw that in.
Okay.
It's expanded video room for group sessions, but then there are... Do you know the Red Sox have three hitting coaches?
Yeah.
They sit down with each hitter daily to pinpoint strengths and weaknesses. The Red Sox have utilized 14 different lineups since they traded Rafi Devers, which has to be about one a game, right? It's been like 15, 16 games since the deal. And they are trying to get things, I guess, in a more disciplined way. But I'm going to ask the professional athlete at the table.
Yes.
Courtney. No. Wiggs, isn't there a point as a player where you're like, you're getting too much feedback, where you just want to like allow yourself to perform? Like, this seems
simplify it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, simplify it for me. You know, and that's... You know, when you have a lot of coaches and everybody's trying to change their shoulder in, elbow up, whatever it is, and there's a lot of different things, sometimes what ends up happening as an athlete, you start to overthink things. And now rather than just focusing and saying, you know what, I'm going to try to go out there and make contact, you're worrying about, is my shoulder up? Is my chin down? Where am I, am I pulling my head out of there? And so sometimes it's better to simplify things. But if you talked about three hitting coaches and, having all these analytics come into it, sometimes you can fry out a guy's brain because he's thinking about a million things up there.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't assume, but Yoshida's going to DH when he gets back. He's in Worcester, right? So
yeah.
I'm assuming that are they going to have an everyday DH going forward? Or
I think the reason they traded Devers is they want to have different DHs, or not every day, but have the flexibility. Yoshida is not going to play first, I don't think.
I think
he's taking grounders there just sort of as a, I don't know, something to do in a pinch. But I think obviously he would be the DH when he was in the lineup, and he would be playing, not infrequently. But this to me, just like Ref Snyder said, that this is a difficult transition for younger players. Like, you know how Roman Anthony was really struggling for a bit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're just in the big leagues, you're trying to understand what's going on. You're staying in the Four Seasons. You're traveling with the big club. You're in this, like, unbelievable, Boston environment for baseball.
And then you have like these 3 hour long meetings. You get to the plate, you got to be in your own head.
Yeah. Well, that's the manager, though. That's got to be on
Core. It's on Breslow. Yeah. And the stupid.
Listen, you're not going to go down that road with me.
It's the stupid driveline thing.
No, no. Cora has enough juice, Greg.
If I were Alex Cora, then the one thing I'll put on him is I would tell Craig Breslow, get the driveline guys and the rest of the nerds out of here.
You don't think Cora can do that? There's no way he's making $7 million, one of the highest paid coaches in Major League Baseball, and the guy's got no nuts. There's no way you're telling me that. If he wants things done, I think that sometimes he agrees with some of the things that Breslow's putting on the table, because Cora has enough juice. He's won a World Series as a manager. He won another World Series as an assistant coach. There's no way you're telling me this guy doesn't have the cachet in that building to be like, no, Brez, here's what we're doing.
Yeah, it's not working as currently constructed. So,
yeah.
All right, Curtis, thank you. Mm-hmm. We are on Lake Winnipesaukee. I think we have our first stand-up paddleboard that has arrived when it comes to, or a couple of them. And I saw a canoe also.
Yeah, there's a canoe right in front of us. Huh?
We got a canoe. We have multiple boats. We have multiple jet skis here this morning.
The stand-up paddleboard would be in my Mount Rushmore of things that are much more difficult than they appear.
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Very hard.
Have you ever tried it?
Oh, I failed.
Yeah.
I nearly
in the ocean, it's very hard.
Awful.
Yeah. I have a weight distribution balance.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Issue on that thing.
Because I tried a canoe and I went right over, and I tried to like put my hand down to stop me from going over. When you're bigger, it's too much of a, you're too big for the boat.
And Toledo saved Wiggy just like Dooley tried to save Rex.
No chance then, what you're saying is no chance of canoe sex.
Hell no.
No, that's
hell
not,
no.
Not
going to do that.
That's not yeah, that's not I'm
gonna,
too big for a canoe.
It's not going to happen. Yeah. All right. We are on Lake Winnipesaukee. Might be time for a little symphony of horns, if we could, here this morning, everybody.
All right, here we go.
You people are extraordinary. Yeah. What a beautiful day on the lake. Sun is up. It's going to be a beautiful – we'll get to the weather coming up.
Thank you.
A beautiful 4th of July weekend coming up. So,
right.
All right. We are on the dive. Lake Winnipesaukee, New Hampshire, the 8th and final road show, and we will be back with more leads next.
WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
I said in a show here a few weeks ago, that part, I work with Jim Bowden, and we were sitting in the green room, and it's like, hey, how about this trade? I'm like, what? Man, you're making that up. It's like, boom, and then he tweeted it. So don't believe everything you read. Just stay in the moment. One thing they can control, all of them, is to show up today and play hard and see what the future holds.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
That was Alex Cora with us here on WEEI Afternoons about 3 weeks ago, I think, right here at Fenway Park, when he pulled his best Trump impression and said, fake news, don't believe everything you read, including specifically his former co-worker Jim Bowden from ESPN. Well, guess what? The former Reds and Nationals GM has a piece on The Athletic today that I choose to at least embrace for entertainment purposes as we approach the Major League Baseball trade deadline at the end of the month. Jim Bowden, and this wasn't just him making, well, I guess I never really know what it is, but he claims this wasn't him making anything up, that he polled, he said, 40 front office executives that are mostly either general managers or presidents of baseball operations. So, I mean, the Red Sox could have contributed like 10 to that because they have a bunch of GMs.
They fire 50 every year.
Yeah. But these are supposedly the men in baseball that will be making decisions. The first thing he did right before he got into his list, and he broke it down into position players, relievers, starting pitchers, most likely to be traded. But he did say the most common response was it's going to be a late developing market, because everybody thinks they are involved in the playoff chase. There's like four teams that are out of it. Everybody else still thinks they're a contender. And he doesn't think the teams even know right now. Teams like the Red Sox. He doesn't think they have any idea what they're going to do and what they're going to be.
How many teams in the AL do you think right now realistically think that like, okay, we're definitely in this.
Well, if you include the Red Sox, it's like, no, it's like 12 deep, 13 deep or something like that. Basically, the teams that are already out of it are called the White Sox, the Orioles.
Tigers will be buying. Yankees will definitely be buying. After that, there is like this great morass. Like there's this massive middle of teams that, like Bowden said, could go one way or the other, which is why I totally see that market.
Maybe
developing.
Three teams in the A.
That
are definites. You know, right. That would be the Athletics that are, you know, 20 games under. You got the White Sox that are over 25, under 500.
This is not your necessary time to bring up.
But even the Orioles are speculating as potential early buyers for next year, that they might make some moves with an eye on next year at this year's trade.
Like trading for Montez Sweat crossing sports.
I don't know exactly, but that's a theory. But let's look at the list, because when you get to the relievers section, the number one spot on the list, who do you think it is? It's the guy who was last on the mound here at Fenway Park about an hour ago, throwing, I still don't believe it, every pitch was 101.
Yeah,
and he's
yes.
And I don't know if this is allowed to be said, because like he has some baggage off the field in his past, but
it's amazing.
I have fallen in love with him.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were going to accuse him of something.
No. I've fallen in love with him.
He says the guns are all juiced.
He is I don't necessarily believe it's 101, but he's throwing gas. And he's become a badass. He just does that stare down thing. Like
awesome.
He is what a closer is supposed to be. Yeah. He is the anti-Folk. And I know I say that all the time, that is what you're supposed to see. Well, Jim Bowden says that, quote, the execs overwhelmingly picked Chapman as the reliever most likely to be traded in July. The 37-year-old is having a banner season, posting a 1.32 ERA over 37 appearances with 14 saves and 50 strikeouts in 34 innings. He would be a difference maker in any bullpen. 2 years ago, Chapman was traded from the Royals to the Rangers in late June deadline for lefty Cole Reagans and a minor league outfielder. That would hurt. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, honestly. As I said earlier, I don't think you can go from we're adding to our team, we're going to make our team better for 2025, and then trade one of the best closers in baseball. Why? Like, how do you justify those actions?
You can't. And I think part of it just kind of hit me when you're talking about, you know, Breslow talking up being buyers at the trade deadline. You know what he's factoring in is the return of Bregman and Yoshida.
Right.
So in his mind, even if they're 4 or 5 games under 500, he's getting two. You know, one, you know, all stars, you know, and a gold glove back and Yoshida who can hit. And so he feels like, you know, even if they're, you know, a team that maybe looks like it's floundering and it doesn't really it's not going to figure it out. We're getting a bunch of guys back at the time in which they could maybe go on a run.
But I've heard past general managers in other sports, this sport, that would use that as an out. Well, you know, you need to remember we're going to get back a $40 million.
No, you got to buy. Right. They always.
Some people would use that as, oh, that's our midseason.
Red Sox do that all the time.
Right. And that he's not doing that. He's looking to add. He's not saying we're going to get some internal additions. That's why I like it and I'm buying into it. And maybe I'm being on the Twitch chat. They call me Little Gullible Andy. You know, you've been burned so many times by the Red Sox. They're the interest kings. They're involved.
Some of the things they call you.
It's one of the things. And you call me other things. It's not very nice.
All right. I'm standing in between the two of you.
Aroldis Chapman, if you trade him. I know we use this cliche. That's a white flag.
Ultimate white flag is Bregman. If you were to trade Bregman,
I almost don't because
Your mind?
Bregman right now. Bregman is not a part of this team right now. So you could even argue, okay, you're winning games, whatever, without Bregman at this point, this small sample size, and then you also have he's going to opt out. And he wants a new contract, and you're not going to be able to re-sign him, so it's only smart business to unload him.
And your current manager is in love with him, and you saw what the returns were as far as on-field and leader. That's too bad.
Well, he's kind of the boss.
Well, he allowed it to happen, and he's the one who had to clean up the mess that was allowed to happen.
Because I think Cora went to Henry and said, give me this guy.
Well, if he went around Henry, obviously John Henry was a fan enough to come on out with his big old cigar smoke photo as well. The returns on Bregman are too good. To me, the ultimate punt move is... Guys, we screwed up this season. Not only did we have to trade Devers away, now we're dealing Bregman away to bring in parts for this year, but most especially for the kids in the future as well. if there were some sort of, we could brainstorm it, probably not even a suitable alternative, if there were someone who could slide in and give you 80% of the effectiveness that Chapman has delivered without the posture, without the stare down, without the goosed up 103 miles per hour.
Jordan Hicks.
A fine alternative, because it's obviously not going to be Hendricks. My guy Whitlock can only go an inning. There really isn't an obvious candidate. But if Hicks were to all of a sudden be thrown, I don't want to see Weissert in there. Good Lord, no thanks. That gives me Kimbrel shakes. But if you were able to do that, and then you could trade Chapman for a massive chip, it's got to be on the table.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you say the same thing about Bregman? I mean,
because Bregman is a part of your team probably for the next 5 years.
So's the guy playing third right now.
Well, just who's more valuable? Who brings you more wins?
Now or long term?
This year.
I think who's more irreplaceable is actually Chapman. Closers to me in baseball massive.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of
them. It's where we started the year when I said they had to go get Mason Miller.
Oh, gosh.
Remember that?
I know.
Guess who's number six on the
reliever? On your bingo board, everyone.
Guess who the most likely to be traded number six reliever is? Mason Miller, although a little addendum. Jim Bowden hears that Mason Miller is going to be turned into a starter, that most teams want to trade for him, and they believe he is the next great ace in baseball, throwing 100 as a
starting
pitcher.
How'd that go for Papelbon?
How'd it go for Jordan Hicks? Jordan Hicks tried to do it, and he stunk.
No great.
So that's Chapman. I don't think. Who do you think the top position player among the Red Sox on Jim Bowden's
list?
It's
either Willie Abreu or it's Jaron Duran.
It is Jaron Duran, sixth on the list overall. I was surprised by how many front office executives mentioned Duran. I don't know why you're surprised. We've been talking about it on our show for like a month and a half
now. Bleacher Report and everywhere else.
It makes me think the Red Sox may have decided Willier Abreu will play right field and Roman Anthony will play left field going forward. Duran, 28, is under team control through 2028. Last year, he led the majors in, we know this, doubles, triples, homers. He was an MVP candidate. He hasn't been as good this year. Jaron Duran.
See ya. That's the guy that I would be fine. You know what? And I'm a fan of him, just a person.
Didn't sound like it there.
No.
See ya.
I care about.
It wasn't even thanks for you.
I can like somebody, but I like the team more, and yeah. I want to see the team succeed. So it's not about personal feelings. Here's a guy that I just think is never. I don't think he's, from a mental standpoint, it's ever going to get to a point where he's just everyday confident, knows what he's getting. He struggles with the mental side of the game so much, and I appreciate him being as open and honest about his struggles, but you can't be successful in the highest leagues and beat yourself up for your mistakes all the time. You will not survive the game.
So, right.
So is there someone on this team? I mean, obviously, if there were prior to now, they would have probably had him working with him night and day. Is there somebody on the team that can try to rein him in and teach him a little control? Because he runs the same way he hits, which is the same way he fields, which is the same way he approaches everything at 110 miles an hour and sometimes a little out of control.
That's not Bregman's job. That's not the older guy. I mean, you know, Trevor Story, they're not going to go try and get his mind to be, you know.
No.
It's a deep-seated stuff that I worry is a flaw in his profile. And so I think let's face it, how has he been playing lately? He hasn't been playing great.
You know who struck out three times today?
Yeah,
Jaron Duran. Out of the 10, three of them. And that one infuriates me. When your leadoff hitter, who's fast and can make things happen, if just put the GD ball in play.
If you could steal first, okay, but you can't, right?
No,
steal first.
You can't. And that, it is frustrating. And he is popular. I do think that would be an interesting one just to measure in the popularity of some fans. Now, again, we don't know what you're getting in return. Do you get a big leaguer? Do you get prospects? How does that work? I think when they're at their best offensively is when Jaron Duran is at his best offensively.
Him and Trevor Story.
The problem is you haven't seen that often enough this year. You saw it last year. This year he's sort of a knockoff version of himself, right? He's like those fake Frosted Flakes that go soft in the milk a little faster than the Kellogg's do.
I think you know, having a season like he did last year, all of a sudden now he's got these heavy expectations, and now that's the problem with, you know, I think somebody who's mentally wired that way is it's just always, you're never just okay with where you are at that point.
I also think with the lineup decimated with Bregman out and then Devers traded –
I think he's trying to do too much.
Yes.
I think it'd be like, you know, Roman Pfeiffer, Ted Johnson gets hurt. So Roman Pfeiffer says, I'm going to make Ted's plays and my plays, and then doesn't make anybody's plays because he's caught in the middle kind of thing. Yeah. And I think that's where Devers is right now.
Who else is on that list?
Willier Abreu is also on the list.
I'll give him the Dolphin.
Abreu was mentioned because some teams would prefer him over Duran in a trade due to his elite defense. Uh-huh. He also has an additional year of control through 2029. However, I got the impression Boston's preference is to trade Duran over him unless the return for Abreu is much better. I like Abreu. I like Abreu. But I find it hard to believe you're going to get more for Willier Abreu than you are Jarren Duran.
Chance you are.
I find that hard to believe. Because you think you could get more for Abreu than Duran, Ted? Based on your face?
On what we've seen recently.
And there were all those
Is Willie a little younger too, isn't he?
He is a little younger, and you get an extra year. I do think his defense has become a little overrated. I think he's been good, not great defensively this year. Last year.
Yeah.
I thought we were talking
gold gloves are overrated.
I thought we were talking about this year.
Gold gloves are overrated. Okay.
I thought I learned from Ted Johnson. We don't talk about last year. We talk about this year.
Yes. Okay, fair point.
Ooh, I turned Teddy on himself there. Next up, Ted, is your guy, Bregman. He is he's on this list as well. As a talking point, I don't think they would do that. I don't even think they would do that if they got the impression he was going to leave after the season.
Not leaving after the season.
I don't think he is either, but even if they got that impression, because I do think that's one of the white flags, however many white flags that's you
the biggest out, white flag out. To me. You trade Alex Bregman, you have admitted to a mistake on the year. You are getting whatever collateral back you can that you invested in this year, and you are now looking at a significant turnaround for next year and beyond.
Quick side note here. I keep listening to my guy Adam Jones on the Midday Show talking about Bregman. Yeah, I got a lot of guys. Talking about Bregman and talking about he's not going to get more than $40 million a year on the open market. I agree, and I don't think he's looking for that. I think what he wants is the longer-term security, and I think he would probably take a little bit less. So is it $36 million but for 6 years or 7 years instead of the 41 and change he has for 2 years. He has made some comments about wanting to have a long-term home or long-term
stability. I think he wanted
stability.
That before the season, and I think the Red Sox were the team that gave him probably the best deal. What makes you think after this year it'd be totally different?
Because from what I read, it got a little weird in Houston in that he cared about the average annual value and how it compared to what he was getting in Houston.
They offered him six for once. They offered him something like what Crochet got, and he didn't think that.
Yeah, it was 30-something, and he didn't think it was even, enough.
I thought it was teams were giving him like 28 average.
Yeah.
Maybe it even was.
Yeah, we got three at 40 here.
Correct. Right? And now he's got two left at just over $82 million, I believe.
Well, that's really hard money to walk, even in
Massachusetts. But what if I said five for 160?
Five for 150 gets it done.
That's amazing.
I think
the best game ever. You get hurt half the season and you get a bump, a raise.
And that's
and
where
you buy people a couple of Tommy Bahamas or some freaking bonobo suits, and next thing it's like, you have saved us.
No, the case I'd make for Bregman is he's the best locker room leader that has juice, that has is accomplished, that this locker room has had in a very long time. Huge value on that, so I don't want to see him go.
It's part of the $41 million they're paying him. But let's bring in the caller, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Steve in Centerville. What's up, Steve?
I'd like to see Ted put his some facts behind his mouth when it comes to questioning Jarren Duran's mental toughness. So what kind of numbers do you have that suggest that, you know, he's been committing errors or he hasn't been stealing bases, or what do you got for me, Ted?
I don't have.
He's been committing errors. You need the exact
numbers. He's had base running issues. He's dropped fly balls.
Got thrown out of games and got his manager rung up.
There's a lot of examples, Steve. I don't have the stats right in front of me.
Struck out three times today. What's your point, Steve?
Well, I think he's probably, for my money, he's like the one guy on the team that I don't want to see go. Why? Because he's proven himself at a very high level. He's done it for a couple of years now. He's got a little bit of experience under his belt, which is more to say for almost anybody else in the team except for, you know, guys that are injured. And to me, he's critical. So not a guy I want to see trade. I'd trade Abreu in a heartbeat. Guy's unproven. He's shown some splash of talent. But, my man Duran, don't want to see him go.
Thanks for the call, Steve.
He was. I think he led the majors in extra base hits last year.
Oh, he did. Doubles, triple. He led the majors, and he had 21 home runs to go with it.
Is he close to being on pace to the extra base hits this year?
No, he's not.
No, so last year, guys, he had his WAR last year was almost 9.
That was last year.
Wow. So in 2023, he played half as many games. 100. Golly is right, Robo Ted. He had 102 games, a WAR of 2.2. This year, it's down to 1.4. 362 plate appearances, bats. He was good. So he was good in 2023 in limited action.
Yes.
He was an absolute dynamo last year. He has regressed this year. So do you want to try to hold on to him either to help your team or see if you can increase his value for a future trade? Or are you basically trying to sell people?
You had to predict what the real Jaren Duran is. Is the 2023 version, the 2024 version, or the 2025 version?
I think it's an unsexy answer of it's probably a combination of the two.
I don't think it's last year. I never believed in last year. I never believed he was going to be this perennial MVP candidate.
Let's bring the ball man into his
nerd.
To add to the nerddom for the fielding perspective, Ted, last year as an outfielder for Jaren Duran, the metric outs above average, which is basically how much better than the average outfielder in baseball you are, he was 11. So he was a plus defender mainly in center field. This year, he's a minus 5. So he's costing you outs in the outfield.
I don't get it, but I get it's a big drop.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, Steve, it's like it's his favorite player.
Which is cool.
And I like everything that kind of Jaren Duran has gone through, his story. I love it. I think it's an awesome story.
But we're not holding on to him for PR.
If we're trying to make the team better, I just think that's a guy that you should be open to trading.
Also, what's his value? Like, we've heard that the Padres have been in love with him for like a year and a half now. If the Padres are in love with him and you can leverage that for a really good trade return, and the other factor is you have four outfielders. You have four starting outfielders, especially with Rafaela kind of coming on of late and looking more like a guy you actually want in center field all the time because he's bringing the defense. Now he's injecting life into the offense. So now it comes down to, well, Anthony's going to be part of your outfield mix. So basically, if you like Rafaela's cheapness and you like Anthony's greatness, it's either Abreu or it's Duran. Who are you picking? And who can you get more for? Okay, Seattle's going to give you a pitcher. Remember all those rumors? You're going to get a big starting pitcher.
Abreu is streakier. Duran, when consistent, is an all-around talent, the likes of which there are only a few in baseball. The Red Sox right now are holding on to him with all hope that they find the way to access 2024 Jaren Duran again.
All right, that was our quick little rundown of what may be fake news, according to Alex Cora, but we're getting closer. Few weeks away, end of the month. Major League Baseball trade deadline, lots of Red Sox. Maybe comings, maybe goings, we'll see. We are WEEI Afternoons broadcasting live from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studios, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and F-Series. Hurry in for your last chance to get employee pricing for all during the Great American Sales Event. Up next, we get a touch on the Boston Celtics because we know they've shipped a bunch of stars out of town. Could another star be coming to town to join Jason Tatum in his rehab? We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, Mr. Pre- and Post-Game Show. He has what's trending.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you
No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.